The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live,
looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Let me just repeat something. I will support almost anyone, any program that will unite us and bring us together. And seriously and honestly deal with bigotry, discrimination, prejudice, inequality. Hey, I'm on your side. If you have a plan to divide us, however, I am your enemy. I just want you to know that. There is such an effort today, particularly from the liberal left, not totally, but particularly from the liberal left, to divide us. The NFL is an example of this. The NFL says that this year they're going to do even more to highlight racial inequality and so forth. They're going to play the Black National Anthem. And I'm not going to go into all my diatribe on that. The words are wonderful. The song should be sung, but we already have a national anthem. And trying to adopt a second one for a particular race of people? Think about that. So then, are we going to have an indigenous people national anthem and an Asian national anthem? Okay. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said, "We at the National Football League believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be a part of the much-needed change in this country." And then he said this, "Without black players, there would be no National Football League." Okay, let me make another statement. Roger Goodell said, "Without black players, there would be no National Football League." Let me give you another statement. "Without the United States of America, there would be there will be many fewer millionaire black athletes." Now, which of those phrases is true? Both. It's true. Without black players, there would be no National Football League, because 70% of players in the National Football League today are black. So that is a true statement. You take out the black players, you don't have a National Football League. Okay? But there is no country on planet Earth that has as many millionaire black athletes. There are hundreds of millionaire black athletes, and it would not happen without the United States of America. So both of those statements are true. So why is the NFL only emphasizing one? Because they have an agenda, and it's not to unite us. The median income of the NFL is $860,000. All right. He says there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players. May I say again? That was absolutely true in years past. We are way past that. Praise God. Now, what about the NBA, National Basketball Association? All right. 74.2% of the players in the NBA are black. 70% in the NFL, 74% in the NBA. Now, the median income in the NFL, predominantly black, $860,000. Doesn't sound like players being oppressed to me. But then we turn to the NBA. Now, again, the black percentage of population is 13%. So in the NBA, 74%. So a hugely, 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 hugely disproportionate percentage of players in the NBA are black. Is that inequality? Does that mean we need to start programs to prohibit NBA teams from signing any more black players and signing more white players? Of course not. That's ridiculous. But you could make the argument. Oh, the average salary of the NBA, I had to look this up in three separate sources because I couldn't believe it. I had to look it up in three separate individual sources because I could not believe it. The median salary in the NFL, $860,000. The median salary in the NBA, $8.2 million. That's the average salary in the NBA, $8.2 million. That's the average. And we have NBA players talking about oppression. Now, does that mean that there aren't people that are oppressed? Of course not. Yes, there are people that are oppressed. Are you saying, Bob, there is no racism in America? No, I've never said that, never would say that. Yes, it is. It does exist. But I got news. It doesn't exist in the NFL. It doesn't exist in the NBA. It doesn't exist in Major League Soccer. We have, all right, enough of my rant. The NFL has no standing at all to talk about players being oppressed. When the median income is $860,000, and in the NBA, it's $8.2 million. Why not? Why doesn't the NFL, Roger Goodell, go public and say, folks, I want you to look at the NFL. We are a shining example of equality. Take a look at us. We have gone from the days when we were almost completely white to now we are 70% black. Look at the progress we have made. And not only that, we have proven that blacks are just as competent as anybody else. They can achieve just as much as anybody else. Take a look at the NFL. Look at these athletes. Look at what they have achieved. And then start listing off the millionaires in the NFL. And then end his little speech by saying, I want to say to the young people of America, we live in a great country. Take a look at what your heroes in the NFL have accomplished. If you work hard, do your best. We live in a country where you can grow up and maybe you can be a millionaire as well. Wouldn't that be an incredibly inspiring message from the NFL and the NBA? Wouldn't it be incredible if LeBron James, instead of bellyaching about his country, do a little documentary film and say, hey, I'm LeBron James, grew up in a poor neighborhood up in northern Ohio, single mother, sometimes we hardly had food on the table, but I live in the United States of America, and look what I have accomplished because I live in this great country. And you know what? You can accomplish great things as well. Instead, he goes around belly aching about how bad it is here in America. There is so much potential in professional sports to unite us as Americans. Instead, they're dividing us. And I just hope that you are smart enough to see it. I hope you're not brainwashed. I hope you use the brain that God gave you and you see past some of this nonsense. Again, do we ignore the problems that we have? No! But we thank God for the progress we have made.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, this is one of those days when I wish we had another couple of hours, but we don't. And it is Open Phone Friday, and as I said before, I do my best to defer to phone calls, and we can talk about anything you want on Fridays. We're going to go to Mike in Northwest Columbus, Ohio. Mike, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
Hi. And he left something important out about the NFL and the NBA, too. While most of the players are black, most of the fans are white. If the people in the stands were racist, they wouldn't be watching these games.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the... There's a big, about 18,000 people running to be a congressman in the 15th district of Ohio.
That's about right, about 18,000.
Yeah, that's a lot, and most of them I don't like. I don't like any of them other than state reps or state senators because they've ignored central Ohio and Columbus, which is part of their district. My state rep senator is Stephanie Kunze, and she's been awful as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Who
are you supporting for the 15th?
Well, I've got to sort that out. Yeah, I got a couple of weeks. There's another debate or kind of a presentation Monday night for the Dublin Republican Club where eight of the candidates will be there.
All right.
But I've ruled a few out. I've ruled Hoover out. I've ruled out Bob Peterson. I've ruled out Jeff Luray. Anybody that's been in the state house that didn't do anything for Columbus while they were there. They're out. They're out.
All right. Well, I think we all, well, I don't live in the 15th district, but the people who do have some very, very difficult and important decisions to make, and I hope they pray about it before they go to the ballots, or before they cast their ballots. Next up, we're going to go to Joy in Marysville, Ohio. Hi, Joy. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. You had a caller on earlier that has been listening to WRFD for, I think he said, 41 years. So I got to thinking, how long have I been listening? And I realized I had, when WRFD was in on North High Street near Powell Road,
yeah,
and on the corner there of Powell and High Street, and it was right near Playhouse on the Green.
I remember that well. I did a Saturday morning program there for several years before they moved to the facility where we are now. That was, I was there in probably 89 or 90 is when I began my relationship with WRFD. But
oh, okay. Well, I was listening in the 60s.
Oh, okay. And that was long before our parent company bought it.
Yeah.
And of course, the reason why our call letters are WRFD is Rural Farm Delivery or Rural Farm District. We were the major agricultural station in the entire state of Ohio for a long, long time before our parent company, Salem Media, actually bought it and flipped the format to a Christian format, which I think occurred in around 82, I think, is when our parent company bought it, which is, of course, the same parent company that owns WTBN, the station in Tampa, Florida, that we're on also today. So our company goes way back, and I'm so grateful that our parent company purchased this station and the Christian witness that it has been for many, many years. And we're grateful for listeners like you, Joy, in Marysville. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I wanted to mention something else.
Sure.
If you have time. You you commented on John DeBrine a couple of months ago. My husband and I moved to Boston, and we visited his church. It was the Ruggles Street Baptist Church.
Well, talk about old-time radio. John DeBrine founded Songtime Radio that was nationally syndicated for many, many years. I believe he founded it back in the 60s. My wife and I used to listen to Songtime. We got married. Her parents did. My parents did out in California. It was continues. John DeBrine is gone now, but that ministry continues. Hey, Joy, I need to go on, but thank you for your call. Thank you for listening.
Oh, you have a good weekend.
You as well. God bless you. All right, I got to end with this. Did you know that there are shark advocates? Yes. Marine experts and shark advocates are urging the public, and by the way, I'm not making this up. This is not a parody. This is reality. Marine experts and shark advocates are urging the public to refrain from using the word attack in reference to sharks, declaring that the fish have been, I'm quoting, unfairly stigmatized as a killer. Instead, officials have suggested that violent run-ins with sharks be dubbed with more neutral words such as interactions. Yeah, you see, I'm missing a leg. Well, I had an interaction with a shark. I am not making this up. Others have suggested swapping the word attack with terms like, I had a negative encounter with a shark, or I had an incident with a shark. Quote, shark attack is a lie, said University of Sydney language researcher. Quote, sharks don't have hands. So if they want to explore something, they do it with their mouth. I'm quoting, 450-million-year-old shark species is only just now beginning to understand humans, so we can't be too hard on them. I don't have to convince you what a wacky world we're living in. Hey, be in a good Bible-believing church this weekend, and please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.